Well, we're starting a new book in the scriptures today. A new book. Can anybody kind of guess what it is? Yes, if you said 1 Corinthians, you got it. We'll start 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and the title is The Blessings of God's Grace. So if you have a Bible, open it up, 1 Corinthians. We start this new book. And anytime you start a new book, this is called an epistle. It's a letter. It's a letter written to the church. When you start to read or study, there's a few things that you want to know about it. The who, what, why, where, when, this kind of things. The author, the man who wrote it, was the Apostle Paul. Now, understand the Holy Spirit tells exactly every person who wrote in the Bible what to write and what to say. So the original author is God himself, but the man who wrote it was the Apostle Paul. The date that this letter was written was around AD 55. So about close to 20 years after Christ was crucified, roughly in that area. And who did Paul write this letter to? The Church of God in Corinth. Yeah. When you look at the New Testament, it'll say like 1 Corinthians, it's written to the church in Corinth. If you look at Romans, it's written to the church in Rome. Galatians, it's written to the church in Galatia. So this, you kind of get an idea there. So why did Paul write this letter, this epistle, to the church? There's several reasons. One is to draw the church back into unity. There was divisions in the church. Divisions happened in the church back then. They've always happened, and they seem to happen, that divisions happen. Also, what is very critical to understand was there was a lax in morality. Does that sound like America right now? A little lax in morality? And the church in Corinth also had written Paul asking questions. And so Paul is going to answer those questions, plus much more. Now, the city, Corinth, was mixed with very different nationalities, just like most every city here in America. But the city was really morally corrupt. They had a very, very large temple in the city for the goddess of love, Aphrodite. The temple housed about 1,000 sacred prostitutes. So when I say lax in morality, what was going on in the city, it was pretty bad. Population was around 500,000 at this time. So, good-sized city. So, by all means, this city needed the gospel of Jesus Christ, like any other city, of course. And Paul's writing to this church. This church has been established for quite some time. Paul had planted this church years before. And so Paul writes this epistle answering questions that the church had said, hey, we need more clarification, more understanding of this. And he's answering them. And so that's where the situation is stated here. But I want to explain to you, the Corinthian church was like and is like so many churches of today. Now, what's really neat, I try to share, like when I did the book of Romans, all church doctrine is in, almost all of it, is in Romans. How the church is to be done and orchestrated. Corinthians, very gifted church. But boy, they had problems. They had problems. And so we're going to look at that. We're going to start off reading this. And I want you to understand also, this is a really good book because this book will get into the gifts of the Spirit later on in chapters 12, 13, 14. Really gets into them. And it'll set straight a lot of things that you may hear out there, and you'll go, no, that's not right, because here's what it says in the book. So we're going to look at this, and we're going to start. So let's start it out in verse 1. Paul, called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and our brother Sothenes, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Grace and peace, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Excuse me. I give thanks to my God always for you, because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus, that in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ, who will sustain you till the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were sealed into the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Excuse me. So, one of the things that happens, and part of this was because the letter written to Paul, that he's going to answer this. He opens it up and he says, Paul. So he's saying, hey, I'm writing this. Called by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus. Right there. He opens it up and he says, hey, I was called by God to be an apostle. I didn't like, oh, we need an apostle, we got any volunteers, okay, you're it. No, it's not appointed by man. It's appointed by God. He's Christ's appointee to preach to Christ and has Christ's authority to supervise churches. And if they need to be disciplined, he has that authority as an apostle. I could go into the qualifications apostles, but one thing you have to understand, all the apostles, one of the qualifications is you had to physically see the Lord Jesus Christ. That was one of the qualifications. So I could never be apostle because I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ. So understanding that. But Paul here is an apostle. Paul was set apart by God to do this, to be an apostle. He is Christ's messenger. Now, one thing about Paul, is the author and penned 13 books or letters in the New Testament. So almost half are written by the Apostle Paul. And Paul is here reminding the church that God had chosen him. God chooses the people he puts into positions. It's not, well, we need a volunteer to do this. No. God will choose the people to do the things. Now, what happened is, in response to some of the letter that was written to Paul, in fact, actually, we're going to see it in chapter 9, verses 1 and 2, some of the believers were questioning his authority. So we're going to see this. But look at, I'm going to put up for you Galatians, one of the letters that Paul did write. Galatians 1, chapter 11, please. For I would have you know, brothers, that the gospel that was preached by me, this is Paul writing, is not man's gospel. For I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it, but I received it through a revelation of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ revealed this to Paul, laid it all out for him. This is what you're to go and share. It's kind of nice. We have a book that I can preach from. This is God's word. This is everything we need to know. And so we understand Paul is saying to him, hey, I am the apostle. I am the one. Because sometimes churches, in churches, people will start to question, like they're doing here, Paul's leadership or whatever. And that can happen. So as Paul says this, he says in verse 2, to the church of God that is in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus, called saints together with all those who in every place call upon the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, both their Lord and ours. Now, this letter is written to the church of God in Corinth. That's what the scripture tells us here. But I want to understand, and I want you to understand, I'll read it again and see if you pick it up. To the church of God that is in Corinth. It doesn't say to the church of Corinth. It is the church of God that is in Corinth. We need to understand, a church of God is his church. The church is his, period. And I, for 40 years, I would hear they would, and many of you can relate to this. Oh, that's so-and-so's church. That's so-and-so's church. It's God's church. He puts in the shepherd that he wants to oversee for the time that he wants. It's not my, yes it is, I'm under the care of God to reveal what God has, but it's God's church. It's God's church. God's church is in the city of Corinth, and that's where this is. The church was also born of God, and I want us to understand, if you want to know how the early church was formed, read the book of Acts. The book of Acts talks about how all the early church and everything happened. Look at Acts 20, verse 28. Pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers, to care for the church of God which he obtained with his own blood. That's why it's God's church. Now he's writing to pastors, shepherds. Hey, your overseers, you are to care for the church of God. He's called, like me, to care for the people in the church here. But it's still God's church. Then in this verse, he says, to those sanctified in Jesus Christ, Christ Jesus. Understand, believers are set apart. And if you read this, you see, what are we called? Saints. Believers are called saints. Now, we have been sanctified. We've been set apart for the mission. We're different from the people of the world because we have been set apart to share the gospel. And you've seen the signs or stickers. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. If you realize that this world, we're sojourners. We're just traveling through. We're like the Egyptians when they were going through. This is a temporary. Our permanent home is in heaven. And we need to understand that. And our purpose in this world is different from everybody else's. Believers. We're set apart to God through the Lord Jesus Christ. We've been set apart to God. What a blessing that is, folks. Absolute blessing it is that God would set us apart just for himself. Amazing to me. And this is a little note that I want you to understand. Believers are called saints, which means that one who worships and follows the Lord Jesus Christ. I can't say, well, I'm going to decide on, well, this person over here, okay, you've done enough good, you're a saint. No. God calls us by his word right here. He calls believers saints. You are a saint. Right then again, you see blessings coming. You're a saint. Wow. Saint for the Lord. There is, and what you understand, and Paul's going to really start to attack and approach this in his letter, there is no levels of superiority in God's church. Nobody's more superior than anybody else, period. I'm not above anybody. In the Corinthian church, though, there were ones claiming to be superior. And we're going to see that. Why? The reason why was we're going to see that this church was blessed beyond imagination of God's spiritual gifts. And when pure people can get spiritual gift, we need to always understand that spiritual gifts are to do one thing, glorify and exalt God. It's not to exalt ourselves. Because it is a gift given by God to bring him glory and honor. So, as Paul is teaching us this, and he's going to show it throughout this book, and it's an exciting book to read. Verse 3 says, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as many of you have probably read this letter or this epistle, that verse, do you kind of run through it? Okay, grace to you and peace from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Okay, now on to the next one. Because you're going to see that in all the letters. Sometimes we can run through this verse and not really truly think about what this one verse is saying to us. Grace. Grace to you. Understand the church and its believers receive favor from God. You receive favor from God as a believer. All God's gifts are for us. That'll make you go, wow, that's cool. I like that. And God gives us good and perfect gifts. All good gifts. Look at James 1:17 for me, please. Every good and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Everything that good happened in your life. It could have been your career and work. It could have been your spouse, your family, your children. I don't care what it is. Where you live, your house you have, what car you drive. What, any good and perfect gift came from God. Why? Because of his grace. You have favor from God. I don't think we realize that. Or we just, like I say, we'll pass over this verse. I've heard that, but I'm good. No. But what happens because of this grace given to you, he says grace to you, and then he says, and peace. Peace is the result of grace. It's the result of God's favor. You have peace with God. Because of his favor, you have peace with God. Man, through Jesus Christ, has peace with God. Now, grace and peace can only come from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only way grace and peace can come through to you. Look at Colossians 1. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. He's talking about Jesus. Through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of the cross. You have peace because Christ went to the cross. He shed his blood for your, cover all your sins. So we have peace with God. Do you see how much favor we have? How much we are blessed because of God's grace and God's peace. Now, what's interesting about this 1 Corinthians, this letter, this epistle, and this is just a side note, that where our focus needs to truly always be, no matter what we're going through or anything else. In the first 10 verses, now we're only looking at 9 here, but in the first 10, Paul mentions the name Lord Jesus Christ 10 times. Wow. Our focus needs to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Everything is centered on Christ Jesus. So our thinking must also always be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Do we realize that God has given us such great favor and such great blessings because of Jesus Christ? Folks, as believers, we should not be walking around with that frown. God has favor on you. God has made peace through Jesus Christ. We have peace with God. What a blessing that is going to be. It is the greatest blessing you can receive. It is the unmerited favor of God bestows upon us. We don't deserve the favor. The depths of God's love and kindness towards you, and I'll say you, pointing to every one of you, is unmeasurable. You can't measure how much love and kindness God has for you. It's overwhelming. It is truly overwhelming. Now, there is a vast difference between God's grace and man's grace. Man will show that unmerited favor or grace to spouses, children, grandchildren, close friends. But do we show that complete God grace, that unmerited favor to those who have stolen from us, ripped us off, cheated us, done us wrong? That's where the difference is between man's grace and God's grace. God's grace is freely given to all. Folks, you've been blessed beyond our imagination. God's grace, though, and I want you to understand this, this amazing grace is a gift that God is giving you. But here is the key. You have to receive it. You have to receive God's grace. God's grace is that gift. And I will use this and I will share this a lot at Christmas. Say I were to come up to you and I bring you a nice big present, beautifully wrapped bow and all that, and I give it to you. I said, Merry Christmas. Oh, this is perfect for you. And you take it home. And you don't open it. You take it and you put it on the shelf, or you put it in the storage or in a storage bin, and there it sits. You didn't receive the gift. The gift of grace from God. You have to open it and receive it. Otherwise, there's no gift. God's grace is a gift that has to be received. It is the only way to be saved. You cannot go to heaven unless you receive God's grace. Look at Titus 3. I got Ephesians down there? I'm sorry, I do have Ephesians. I jumped ahead myself. There you go. For by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace you've been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing, so nobody can say I did it. It is a gift of God. Not a result of work, so no one can boast. You can't earn it. You can't say, I've been in church every week for 5 years. Oh, wait a minute, I got a cool old Bible looking in my house that's opened up. Really, everybody walks in and says, oh, that's a godly man. No. You have to receive the gift. You know, and it's not in my notes, but as I'm sitting here thinking now, and God laid this on my heart. In Revelation 3:20, Jesus says, I stand at the door and knock. If you open the door, I will come in. And you will have fellowship. So God's, if he's knocking at your door, you have to open the door. Again, you have to open the gift. You have to open that door and let God come in. And it is the only way to be saved. Titus 3, please. Now I am online. Whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Our eternal life is, we are heirs. You know, we may leave our loved ones, write a will, leave all my heirs. I'm going to leave my kids this for sure. This is the most important thing. And as we look at that, we understand that. He says, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. Wow, folks. Wow. That's amazing. Then he says, lost my spot. Oh, there we are. That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and knowledge. Now, he is talking to the church in Corinth. The church in Corinth knew and had experienced God's grace. And we have to understand it. I'm not sure here that how many believers understand what Paul's really saying when he says that in every way you are enriched in him in speech and all knowledge. The believers have been enriched in everything. The church in Corinth had every spiritual gift poured upon them. We have God's favor in every area of our lives, folks. Every area of our lives, we have the favor of God. They have been blessed with the gifts of God's Spirit. That is why when coming in, I'm always praying, Lord, let your Spirit fill this place. Pour out the gifts upon all the people. It says in speech and in knowledge. What is Paul talking about? You've been blessed. In speech, it means teaching, prophecy, tongues. And it's all for the glory of God, to witness for Christ. Knowledge is to understanding spiritual truth and doctrine. We've been given that understanding. As we go through the books, hopefully your understanding, all of us, every one of us, our understanding of God's knowledge is growing. Because we're studying, we're breaking it down. What are you telling us, God? That is a spiritual gift. Before I got saved, I would read this book. It was just like any other book you can go to the library and pick up. This is the only book written by God. And you will not understand it unless you have the Spirit of God revealing it to you. And that's what's critical. We are to understand what God is telling us, and we need the Holy Spirit. That is why you have to receive the gift of grace. And then look what happens. When you receive Christ into your life, all of a sudden, you understand. And you go, oh my goodness. Wow. I still say, I remember when I got saved in my 20s. Been to church. And I got saved. All of a sudden, I started reading. And the words literally jumped off the page at me. And I was just like, so. Wow, I was going to everybody I knew. Did you see what it says here? And they'd go, yeah, I've read that, Greg. Oh, this is cool. This is the only book written by God. All other books, Christian books, they're great books. Chew the fruit, spit out the seed. This is the only one where every single word in here is written by God for you, for me. And we need to understand that. So they had this gift. The church had been giving in Corinth extreme understanding into the truth of God's word. Wow, folks. That church was like bubbling. Because of this knowledge, now they're able to go and share it to the world. As we go week by week and we study God's word, see, Scripture also says what a pastor's job is to do. Equip the saints with the word. So I am to teach you the word so that you go into the world and share the message. My question, please, no hands. When was the last time you shared the gospel with somebody? When was the last time you shared the glorious, great, the greatest news ever in history? You might go, well, I'm not sure. Because of God's grace, the results, what was happening in this church was amazing for a while, a long time. Until divisions started to set in. And until, well, you know what? I'm better than you because I can speak in tongues. And I'm better than you because this. And that one's better. That's divisions. Paul's no, we're united. in a church, there will be people who are gifted in teaching. There'll be people gifted with a voice to sing. I don't have that gift, folks. There are going to be people that are gifted in hospitality. There are people that are gifted that, man, they're prayer warriors. What's your gift? What is your gift that God has given you to build up the church? And I mean build up, come in and encouraging, standing with, supporting others. You know, I tell you right now, you are all supporting others. We make sure that a certain percentage of any tithes that come in go to support missionaries, preachers, other things out there. So you are supporting others that are out there preaching the gospel in other countries. A lot of you know them. They've come here. We have them in Germany. We have them in Spain. We have them, that's one that's close to my heart, is one that is hitting all the Hispanic churches and planting Hispanic churches. That's close to my heart. We have these. You're part of that. A certain percentage of everything that's given goes to them. And I want us to understand that it is to reach the lost world. And a lot of you know, like Dave and Rebecca, their whole ministry has been on a motorcycle sharing the gospel with guys who ride motorcycles. What a blessing. Who would have thought that, right? Our faith experiences the gifts of the Spirit of God by faith. And then what God says here, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, God confirms in the believer the testimony about Christ. Where you stand back and go, I know I'm saved. Thanks, Lord. This is done in the hearts of all believers. You know Christ. You know you're saved. You got it. It is also that the assurance of salvation, a person knows that they're saved. I know where I'm going. You know, Jesus proclaimed the truth that he was the Son of God. Proclaimed the same thing the disciples proclaimed it. Here you got Paul doing it, proclaiming the same thing. Guess what we're to do? Proclaim the same thing. Jesus is the Son of God and he came to save the world. We're to do that. God has confirmed and poured out his Spirit on the church in Corinth, and I pray continuously that he pours his Spirit on this church. There's no question about their salvation. And they've received the gifts of the Spirit. Gifts are in many forms. This church is cleaned by people who have been gifted for that call on their hearts. What a blessing. God confirms the faith of a believer, and you are sealed as a believer with the Holy Spirit. You're sealed. That faith is firmly established in the faith of God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at Ephesians 1 for me, please. In him, you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. Folks, it's not, well, I think the Holy Spirit's in me. God says you were sealed with his Spirit. God's Spirit dwells in you. So one thing I want us to understand, and we're going to see that later in this book, is we are to desire all the gifts of the Spirit. Ask God, Lord, pour it out on me. Verse 7 says, so that you're not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church at Corinth, they were blessed. God had poured out all the spiritual gifts on the believers there. This is where they got into the superiority. One was thinking they were better than other groups and this is more important. No. As believer, we are to desire all the gifts. Desire. Ask God for them. They're a gift. You cannot say, I'm going to get the gift of this because a gift is given. And the Holy Spirit, we'll go into this even more in this book, the Holy Spirit gives as needed. As needed. Any, though, you have to remember, any gift that God gives you is to be used to glorify God. Doesn't matter what that gift is. It's not to make someone superior to others. When gifts of the Holy Spirit are active, it creates a longing for the return of Christ. When it's stirring up, you go, man, I can't wait till Christ comes back. And I understand. I want you to understand that God's presence brings tremendous joy, and the more joy of that, the more we want of it. The presence of God. You know, it's amazing how when we all, God says, if you push into God, He'll draw you closer. All you have to do is ask, Lord, draw me closer. One thing I found is that when you're drawing closer to the Lord and He's bringing you in the closest, I break into tears. He's so good. He is so holy. I can't understand that He would want me close to Him, but He does. Now, I want us to understand things. As believers, we will suffer at times in this world. You are going to suffer at times, and we know that. It could be financial suffering, could be health suffering, relationship problems. But I want us to understand on the suffering, and you could have, fill in the blank, what kind of sufferings. None of this compares to the glory of God's return. Any suffering we go through will not even be compared in any way, shape, or form to the glory of God's return. Put it for me, Romans 8:18. This is Paul writing, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. Paul, if you read him, and it talks about this, he was shipwrecked I don't know how many times. He was stoned how many times. He was whipped with a cat of nine tails over and over. He was beaten. He went hungry. He went thirsty. So Paul understood, and he writes this, nothing that I've gone through. Paul was stoned to death, and you can read this in the book of Acts, to the point where he died. And he saw the up into the third heaven. Now folks, Paul said to tell us, I don't care what you're going through, it will compare nothing to the revealing when Jesus Christ comes back. We don't even have a comprehension of how incredible it will be. Our minds cannot fathom that. When Jesus returns, I want us to understand this. When Jesus returns, we will receive a crown of glory. I want you to understand, the thing that we often think of a crown is, oh, some gold thing, got rubies, blah, I don't know what kind of... It could include that, I don't know. But put up 1 Peter for me, please. And when the chief shepherd appears, that's Jesus, you will receive the unfading crown of glory. I will tell you right now, I do not know what that is. A crown of glory. It is the crown of the glory of God. Now, Moses had to hide his face when God appeared to him. The glory. When Peter, James, and John, we looked at that when we went through Mark, when they went up to the mount for the Mount of Transfiguration, they got just a tiny glimmer of that glory. They're overwhelmed. The sufferings that we're going through now, I can't comprehend what kind of glory this is. How amazing. You know, I was going over this again early this morning. I got to thinking, Lord, am I going to stand there for a good 1,000 years going, I don't know. When God says a crown of glory, God's sharing, going to share His glory with us. And I think, I don't deserve that. That's how much God loves you. That is truly how much God loves us. Wow, all our aches, pains, everything's going to be gone, and we're going to have this glory. And then Paul says, who, and he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 8, who will sustain you to the end, guiltless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Understand, your security of being saved and your security is Jesus Christ himself. He's got you. In fact, his word says, Lord, I won't let one of them go that you've given me. Nobody can touch them. Jesus Christ will preserve and establish, and you were sealed. He's got you. God himself has got you and says, you're mine. I'm not going to let this happen. You may go through some sufferings, but boy, have I got something for you. Because of Jesus Christ, do you realize we are guiltless, we're blameless? Do we truly understand that? That all our sins, they're gone. No one. Now, we understand, Scripture says, all of us go before the judgment seat of Christ. No one will bring an accusation against you when you stand before Jesus. I like that. No one will be there accusing you of anything. So if Jesus has sealed you to the end and you're standing before him, he's welcoming you into his kingdom. There's no judgment on you. Believers who have been preserved by the blood and power of Jesus Christ are guiltless. Our sins are gone, folks. Philippians 1:6, please. And I'm sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. When you got saved, he said, all right, I'll take over now. I'm going to make sure you get to the end. I like that. It's not based on my faithfulness or me. Oh, I got to do the right thing. Yes, we try. But we don't always do it. Yeah. And then we come to the last verse we're looking at today. God is faithful, by whom you were called into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. I love this. God is faithful. I'm sure glad it doesn't say Greg is faithful, because I'd have to say, oh man, I blew it. God called believers for one purpose, to know his Son, Jesus Christ. That's it. He wants us to know his Son, Jesus Christ. And there's no greater joy than knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Folks, you could have a mansion that will fade and crumble in a few hundred years. You can have that Learjet that you got to pour tons of money in to keep it working. You can have that yacht that's 1,000 feet big that you got to pay all these people to take care of it because you don't know how to drive it. You can have everything in the world. But I'm telling you, nothing compares to what you have now. Jesus Christ is your Savior. Folks, it is an eternal fellowship. I encourage you, push in, get to know him better now, because we got eternity. We're going to be blessed. And when we talk about this, and God is saying here, you were called into fellowship of his Son. This is talking about eternal fellowship, folks. What a blessing. God wants you and him to have that personal, eternal fellowship forever. Look at Romans 8:15 through 17. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoptions as sons, by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may be glorified with him. So we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. But look at what it's saying to us, folks, that you may be glorified. God is the only one that's glorified. But God's saying, I'm going to glorify you. Like I said, I have no idea what that's going to in detail. But I know the Lord Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of the Father. God himself. But then it says, if you look, it says about the fourth line up. If children, then heirs, heirs of God, and what's it say? Fellow heirs with Christ. In other words, co-heirs with Christ. That means whatever Christ gets in heaven, guess what? We get it. Can anything in this world compare to that? Nothing. If you haven't surrendered your life unto God, there's your promise, folks. You got a crown of glory coming. You will be, God is going to glorify you. And you get everything that Christ gets. And you're going to be with us forever. Wow. In heaven where there is no sin. You will never sin again. That's a blessing to me. I always think, Lord, I can't wait till I'll never sin against you. Folks, this is such a blessed letter. We're so blessed. I don't think we could ever measure God's love for us. It's so vast. Let's close. Father God, I praise you and I thank you for this time we've had. Lord, I thank you because it is so exciting for me to teach this book. All books, Lord, it's your word. And I'm asking right now that, Lord, every single one of us, our hearts and our minds are open to your teaching and your instruction, Lord. So I praise you for that. And I thank you for that, God. And I ask right now, Lord, please pour more understanding, more knowledge upon us. Lord, draw us closer that we may exalt you and glorify you more. We thank you so much, God. We ask this all in our Savior's blessed name, Jesus Christ. Amen. If the worship team would come forward, please.